No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Being here, let's get the Mike Gill from 97.3 ESPN down the shore. You can follow him at Mike Gill Show and go and subscribe to his YouTube channel at Mike Gill Show. What's going on, Mike, on this Wednesday morning? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right, boys. What's happening? Finally, about a week out.
Can't get here soon enough. I don't know how you feel, Mike, but I'm all drafted out, the pre-process. And now we're in silly season where the Giants are meeting with every quarterback and trying to throw the curveballs and all the subterfuge starts. What did you take away from Howie Roseman in yesterday's pre-draft availability?
I guess the biggest thing is his admittance that his one of his worst qualities is that he lacks patience, you know, for him to. But it's funny that he can come out and say that and not be criticized for that. You know, if another GM came out and said, well, this is what I'm lousy at, people would be like harping on this for, you know, for days. You know, the guy said he stinks at this. How could you admit you stink at this? Here's Roseman coming out and saying, one of my poorest qualities is I don't have patience. And it's just like a meh yawn.
Yeah. It's one of the great turnarounds, as you know, Mike. We talk about it all the time. I mean, people used to hate this guy.
Man, I tell you guys often, when I used to do the show, I would say Howie Roseman. Now, not for me. I was never a Howie guy, a hater at all. But Roseman was the most hated sports figure in Philadelphia, and there wasn't a close number two. I mean, he was absolutely despised, hated, fire Howie. I mean, it was just it was clear as day that he was the most hated guy. And I always, like, listen, even when he was missing on some draft picks, my point has always been, you're going to miss on draft picks. If you're constantly viewing someone as that's the only part of their job. But what he did on the other parts of his job was more than enough to make up for, okay, I got one wrong. You just don't want to take the chance that someone else comes in here and tries to figure out how to work the cap and do the things that Roseman has done. Yes, you have to hit on draft picks initially. You can't just have a guy constantly missing. But yeah, right. You know, others, if you have 25%, 25%, 25%, and 25%, he was doing a good job on 75% of it. He was missing on the 25. He's now fixed the 25, and now you have a guy that he doesn't do 100% of the things right. But I was always like, hey, man, if you get rid of this guy, Lord knows what's going to happen with your salary cap situation, what's going to happen with all the trades that they make to kind of add value here and there. Frustrating that they didn't draft well for a couple of years there, but it looks like they fixed that issue.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. And I say this about head coach as well, such a big job, and everybody boils it down to, oh, the draft. Yeah. It's like his job is enormous as far as what he does and runs the whole.
By the way, John, it was more than just one, like I just said, Jefferson. I mean, he had a couple of years there where you were like, ew, this is starting to get a little.
He had some draft picks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And even that, I mean, the Jalen Reagor pick is the one I think was the demarcation line.
Really? There's the Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson is the one that really stands out. And then there's Arthego Whiteside, where there's a big contingent of Eagle fans that said, hey, DK Metcalf was on the board. We've talked over the years, like he had a medical red flag. Yeah. The Eagles just could not take him because of that neck injury he had. But you
and they
see
weren't
JJ,
the only team, by the way.
Right. You see JJ Arcega-Whiteside, and you see DK Metcalf's career. And by the way, JJ Arcega-Whiteside, there were other guys after him that you could have taken that would have made it look better. So those two picks really stand out. The Dillard pick, you know, that didn't work out for him, and they traded up to get him. So obviously that didn't work out. I don't think it gets criticized as much because Mailata took that spot, and then you didn't have to think about having a miss there, but he missed on Dillard as well.
Some so Davion Taylor people as a third round pick, and he was kind of raw. But, you know, I always go back to Davion. For those who forget, and you might remember the Darius Slay fumble recovery in Denver because he had the great quote about country fumbles versus city fumbles.
That's right. I remember that.
Davion Taylor was great in that game. He was the one who forced that fumble. And then he had knee problems, and then it was over. You had like a two-game stretch where you said, oh, maybe this guy can turn into something. And he just never did. But, yeah, over the last – so that was the Rager draft when they got Davion Taylor.
He had one draft where the whole draft was a disaster.
Yeah, well, you know, that's my concern is that they've been so good on the draft recently.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, oh, no, you're going to regress.
It's been so good. I think their process has been, you know, honed so good that I'm not saying they're not going to be any chance of a miss, but I do think their process is so strong right now that that's why they're picking so well.
Well, and listen, the very best GMs hit about 50% of the time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what
I mean. You might be 55, you might be 57. But very rarely are you hitting at the rate that the Eagles are hitting on. So, yeah, there's going to be a pick that just doesn't work out.
Yeah. Sometimes you know, it's not your fault. I mean, sometimes, everybody, you know, tries to put on their best foot. I always compare it to a job interview. So you got a bunch of guys. And now because agents know what teams are looking for, they coach up the players to, hey, say this. If they ask this, say this. And they're very – it's almost a very scripted environment. And you have people who are trying to put their best foot forward, and then they get a bunch of money and they just go off the rails. And they don't, for whatever reason, develop. First round picks in the NFL rarely bust out because of talent, especially at the top of the draft, you know, which unfortunately the Eagles are not at. But talk about top 10 picks specifically. They rarely bust out because they don't have the talent. It's something else.
Well, we see this all the time where we talk about, you know, the situation that you're put in. A lot of these quarterbacks that bust out, you know, Sam Darnold gets drafted by the Jets. Well, it's a defensive-minded team. They don't have a great quarterback or offensive system, and he looks like a bust. He goes to Carolina, same situation. Well, then he goes to Minnesota, who has an offensive-minded coach, and they know how to get the best out of him. You know, Paul Heyman, accentuate the positives. Find the good in the player and accentuate them. So Darnold wasn't a guy who couldn't play. He just was not in a system conducive. We've seen this tons over the years, and it applies to any position on the field. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, Mekhi Becton is in with the Jets, and he's, you know, a good player, not a great player. He comes here and he didn't have an all-pro season, but they accentuated the positives in him, right, and he just kind of fit into this offensive line where he didn't have to be the best player there, and you saw the talent in him. Now, we'll see what happens when he goes to L.A. Do they get the best out of him? But most of these guys, John, you're right. That's like, you know, you look at a team, this is why I'm against the division winners getting the automatic – I mean, I think the division winners should get the automatic home game. The difference between a team that's 10-7 and 7-10 is not all that great. The talent level of those two teams is generally pretty equal. It is maybe this team's quarterback's just a little bit better. You know, even a team, you know, when you look at the year the Eagles, I think it was it might have been Chip's last year. They went 10 or his second year. They went 10-6 and they missed the playoffs that year. And Carolina was like 8-9 or 7-9 or something to that effect. But they had won like six straight games to win the South that year, while the Eagles had just kind of clunked their way. That Carolina team by the end of the year was better than Philadelphia, even though Philadelphia had 10 wins and Carolina only had, I think they might've been 8-8 that year or something, or 7-9.
Yeah, I'm with you. I said the same thing. I would keep the home game with the division winner, because I think, you know, if you talk to every coach in this league, when they start talking to the players and, you know, offseason work has just begun for the teams with new coaches, the Eagles will start soon. But first thing they say is, what's your number one goal? Win the division. And that's part of the process. And I think they should. They always make these rash judgments when an outlier happens, Mike. Think about Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen game. Remember, oh, Josh Allen didn't get a chance. One of the most exciting games I've ever saw. We got to change the overtime rules. They changed the overtime rules. They got to change them again because they didn't get it right. They got to keep going down this road. All because of a bunch of whiny, you know what's on Twitter or social media. Same thing. Minnesota wins 14 games. Detroit wins. Well, they got waxed by Detroit. They didn't win the division. They had to go on the road, and they got waxed again. That's their fault. You know, you could have acted like a 14 win.
You're telling me at 13 and whatever, 4, whatever their record was, that if you're that good, you can't go on the road and beat a team with a lesser record?
Exactly.
Like, you have to be at home to be able to win that game.
To your point, the Rams were playing better at the end of the season than Minnesota was, and you saw that the next week here in Philadelphia.
Another reason why the record thing is – you don't play the same schedule. I mean, you could play a division that is filled with teams that are just meh at the time. You know, you get lucky.
That wasn't the Vikings last year, though. That was part of the problem. No,
but I'm saying if you're playing the AFC South and you're playing, you know, Indianapolis and Tennessee and Jacksonville, and that's your pod, well, your record is going to look better generally than the team that gets stuck playing the AFC North, you know, where you have to go through a little bit more of a gauntlet of teams. The team that gets stuck playing the NFC North, you got to play the Lions, Green Bay, Minnesota, and Chicago this year. Those four teams are all going to be probably pretty competitive. So if you're the division that gets matched up with them, there's a good chance that your record is not going to look as good as the team that gets matched up with the AFC South.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I'm with you there. And especially in football, the goal is to play your best football late because you want to go hot. You want to get hot going into the playoffs. And the Rams were able to do that. And if you look back at it in hindsight, they gave the Eagles their toughest test by far in the postseason. So I wouldn't change that rule. I wouldn't have changed the overtime rule. But this league is very reactionary. So we'll see how that shakes out. But getting back to Howie, he's not talking about players. I don't know why fans expect him to talk about players. That's just not the way you do it in draft season. But as far as, hey, do you like this guy? Do you like that guy?
Yeah, I mean, why would you talk about that?
He likes every guy. It doesn't even make sense. Every guy right now, everybody likes.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, he did address Dallas Goedert a little bit. And I don't like this. I don't like this situation. It's the one position where I'm like, all right. Yeah,
I didn't hear what you said. What was the position?
Dallas Goedert, tight end.
Yeah, I'm having a little bit of something in my ear, but I'm good now.
You know, kind of mentioned they draft-proofed the roster with Kylan Granson and Harrison Bryant. You got Grant Calcaterra. So I'm not saying they can't line up. They can line up. But they're going to be far less effective with Dallas Goedert. Now, I don't know the other half of the equation. Maybe Dallas Goedert is playing hardball like Hassan Reddick. Maybe the Eagles would bring him back if he took a little bit of money for next season and gave him a little bit of a kicker. And he might be playing hardball from that perspective. So you never know the whole picture until it ends. But
no one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Just from the football perspective, Mike, what are your thoughts on this Dallas Goedert situation? Because it looks like they're going to move on. When that happens, I can't tell you, but it looks like they're going to move on. And if that's the case, I don't like it. Where are you with that?
Yeah, I agree. And there's a couple of avenues here. One, on draft night, you know, it's been reported, we had Josina Anderson on the radio with us. She had said they're looking for a fourth round pick. So on the night of the draft, on Thursday night, if you don't get a pick for Saturday afternoon, do you hold on to him? That goes down to your point. I don't know if he's playing hardball or not. Do they want to hold on to him and then risk that he's playing hardball with them? That would be one. And if they don't get a fourth round pick, are they willing to take a sixth? You know, like what's the line of demarcation that they'll just say, we're ready to move on from this player for whatever reason? So if he's willing to play at that number, are the Eagles just going to say, sorry, we don't want you? I mean, at that point, you would say, if you're willing to do it, we want to keep you. That's where it's a little odd here. Two, there's a good tight end draft. Obviously, Tyler Warren he's going to be a top 15 pick. So there's people that texted to my show. You got to trade it for Warren. I don't see a scenario where you are giving up draft capital to move up to get a fourth option in your offense. Like, it just doesn't seem to make a lot of, hey, I'm going to give you a first round pick so I can move up to take a guy who is literally going to be the fourth or fifth options most Sundays. That doesn't seem to add up to me. But what does add up is, in that second or third round where there's still a good bunch of tight ends, that you go and get your guy in that spot there. So Goddard would be the first choice to come back, I would think, if he's willing to play at that number. If not, the guys they have on the current roster, that's not good enough. You can't go into a season thinking those guys are not the heir apparents. They're just kind of hanging around just to have some depth at that position until they figure out how this all plays out here. So it is a little confounding, but you're right, John. We don't know the Goddard side of the story as to why this has even come up, because otherwise you just let him play out the deal and pay him what he's at right now.
Well, they don't, from the Eagles' perspective, they don't want him to play at that cap number, because I think his cap number is the fifth on the team, and it's behind only Jalen Hurts and then the three All-Pros, A.J. Brown, Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata, and then it's Dallas Goedert. So from their perspective, they don't want him to play under this contract as well, but it's more about the cap space than it is the money, I think, mm-hmm. although they're trying to get money, too, for future extensions. But I think they would be okay with paying him a salary. The problem is the cap space. So generally,
they want to try to have another kick that can down the road
situation. Exactly. Yeah. And generally, when this happens and you want the player, it's simple. You just do the extension. You spread it out over the voidable years. You get the cap number down. He gets his guaranteed money, and everybody's happy. Mm-hmm. Eagles don't seem to want to do that. And
I don't think Dallas wants to do it either.
Possibly, because he's 30, well, so it's different.
I was going to say, are the Eagles looking at a declining – I don't want to say declining player, but a guy who's been unreliable, you know.
Yeah, on the other side of
30. 4 to 5 games a season almost.
Yeah, right. It's injuries, it's 30.
But Goddard, I mean, in the other front, he's like Trey McBride just got 50, you know, or whatever it was. And he's making 78. Man, I'm not saying he's going to get that, but if I'm Goddard, you probably think, oh, I'm better than that guy. I might be older, but I'm still better than that guy. So
yeah,
I think he's looking to milk the most amount of money out of it.
This is probably his last opportunity. Yeah. I'm just speculating on Dallas, but this is probably his last opportunity from his perspective. Knowing how the league works, I'm sure he's getting that advice from his agents. this is your last chance to get that big multi-year guarantee. So it's more complicated than it looks on the surface. But just from a football standpoint, which most fans care about versus the business stuff, they're a much poorer team if Dallas Goedert isn't here, I think.
Yeah. Oh,
all you have to do is look at the postseason.
And that's a great point, too. Somebody, you know, I mentioned on, are you going to trade up for a Tyler Warren? Let's just play along and have some fun. Hey, I'm going to move up to, he's dropped to 17. I'm going to make the move and go get this guy. Now I got A.J. Brown, I got Smith, I got Barkley, and we're having the conversation every week saying, how do they get the ball to Warren? They got to find ways to get him the ball. And it's just not there for you. And you've given up a first-round pick to move 15 spots potentially to go get this guy. And every week you're wondering, how do I get this guy the ball? You know, we saw stuff like this all with Goddard. I mean, how do we get Goddard the ball? Is this the year for Goddard? Is this the week Goddard has the big week? If you're drafting Tyler Warren in the middle of the first round, you're thinking he's better than Dallas Goedert, essentially. Yeah. So that would be a challenge on how to get him the ball. But the retort that I got from a listener on that was, you know, an interesting one was, yeah, maybe during the 17 games, but when it mattered the most, who came up with some of the big catches when you needed them? Because the other teams are so focused on Brown and Smith that you got to have that guy who can make the play in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl, because the other guys are getting so much attention. But are you trading that much up for one or two games in the playoffs? Okay, how much do you value that?
Yeah,
that's the yin and the yang there.
That's a valid point, but I'd rather look at what they do. They haven't drafted a replacement for Dallas Goedert. They've gotten two Timu signings, as we've dubbed them here, Kylan Granson and Harrison Bryant. I mean, Mike, is it fair to wonder if tight end is becoming the offense's version of what was once the linebacker, or what on the offensive side was the running back before Saquon Barkley? I'm not saying they don't like tight ends, but look at the way the offense is built. Like you just said, I got A.J., Devontae, Saquon, Jalen, Dotson. I mean, tight end is an afterthought in some games. So I'm wondering if they're just hey, with the roster crunch, we got to save money at tight end.
And Xander, they won games with Grant Calcaterra. I mean, and he's a guy that can catch the football. You can utilize him in the pass game. The question is, do the Eagles see that they can get through a season with Grant Calcaterra playing passing downs and, you know, whoever the other guy is, Harrison Bryant or the kid from Indianapolis or an E.J. Jenkins or, you know, I know Jack Stoll is in the Saints, but that doesn't mean he makes a team and he gets cut. You bring him back to be the blocking guy. And that, do they think they can get through 17 weeks showing your hand? We're throwing the ball. Stoll's in the game. We're running the ball. I mean, that is the challenge when you have a one-dimensional tight end, whereas Goddard, he can do both. And I think that's what the Eagles are trying to find, is someone that can do both as opposed to having two specialized.
Which is hard. Which is very hard in the modern game. But what are they going to do? Run 12 personnel all year?
Well, certainly not now because
if they have a tight end who can catch but can't block for shit, I mean, you know.
You got to worry about the tendency part of it, because obviously they're not going to play two of them a lot if you don't have – you're not going to take a good player off the field for a lesser player, at least most of the time. But to Mike's point, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Xander. I don't like that argument. Yeah, they did win games with Grant Calcaterra. They won games with everybody.
I'm with you.
Won games with Darian Kennard. They won 16 of 17. You could say, hey, they won games, you know. Right. They won games with everybody. They won games with Fred Johnson. Nobody's saying Fred Johnson's as good as Jordan Mailata.
And they did it in different ways. So in a way, it almost disputes it, right? Every little part was needed at some point to get over the hump.
Yeah. So this was a very good team. A very good team, to put it mildly. And they were winning no matter what.
You know what's funny? It's a very good team, and there's no disputing that at all. And you had a historic season from Barkley. But you have these two great receivers whose numbers did not jump off the page at you, right? And there's nobody watching this right now or, you know, that would debate that A.J. Brown and or Devontae Smith have way more ceiling in terms of what they can add to this offense, right? I don't think anybody debates that. And it's the question of, got a new offensive coordinator now as you get into the season. I doubt you're going to ride Saquon Barkley as much as you did last year. So maybe you do look to put more emphasis on the pass game, and then that tight end becomes more of an option. Who knows?
Or it's the opposite. They just signed Saquon Barkley to another mega deal. He's almost 30. I'm going to ride him until he drops in his hands and let him run it until he can't run anymore.
You know, one thing about Nick Sirianni is he says it, I don't know how many times, but I'm sick of hearing it. I don't think anybody listens to it, but how many times have you heard him say, if we got to run it 40 times, we're going to run it 40 times. If we got to pass it 40 times, we're going to pass it 40 times. He really believes that. It's not bullshit.
No, and he's sure, by the way.
Yeah, and he's going to run that guy until the wheels fall off.
You know, like the whole concept of what we want to be is preposterous, right? The thing shouldn't be what we want to be. It's what the hell does it take to win? Because when I look back at your 17 weeks, I don't remember how you beat this team on week 5. I just remember that you won the game. I don't care that you threw the ball 75 times or ran the ball 75 times. The end result is what we're all yearning to see. No one's like, we won the game, but man, why did they throw the ball 55 times? Where we like the concept of this is who we want to be shouldn't even be a topic of conversation.
I'm with you.
What does it take to win the game and then move on to the next week? We get fixated in a week to week thing where when you see something on one Sunday, we then compartmentalize. That's who you are. Well, no, that's exactly who I was today. Tomorrow, I'm somebody different.
How many times? And I've said it with you. I've talked about it with Xander, with Jody, with everybody I've been on the radio with for the past 15, 20 years. If I could ban, what's the run pass ratio going to be? Talk. I would ban it from living existence. It is the dumbest conversation in sports. It is the dumbest conversation in sports. And I've heard really smart people address it. And even this morning, ironically, the only guy I listened to on the radio, because you know, I turn it on before my show in case I miss something, is Sirius XM, NFL Radio, basically to hear the news updates. So Solomon Wilcots is on in the morning. I love Solomon, former NFL player, really smart guy. He's talking about the run-pass ratio, talking about the Eagles running the football, the Ravens running the football, all the successful teams running the football, which has been the case in the NFL for a million years. As long as they've been playing, the teams that run them, you know why? Causation versus correlation. Now, there's context to everything. But if you're winning, you're running to close out games. If you're losing, you might throw it 15, 20 straight times in the fourth quarter. And then you got these morons after the game. Oh, they threw it too much. Now, if the Eagles were down 10 points, which they never have been in the past year, but if you're down 2 scores, any team in the NFL, and there's 6 minutes left in the game, what are you going to do? You're either going to try to win the game, or you're going to run the freaking run the football, and everybody's going to lose their minds as the clock drains.
Yeah,
it's insanity.
Yeah, and look, we react. It's funny. It's the game the Eagles lost to the Falcons where Saquon dropped that ball, and it's that one play that is the discussion for a week. You know, why'd you throw the ball there? Why'd you throw the ball there? Well, looking back,
it's a perfect play call, by the way. Right. It is a phenomenal play call.
And looking back on it, did it really matter? You won the Super Bowl. Who the hell cares? I mean, they called a play in week 2 that we'll pontificate about. Why'd they do that? It's a good play call. No, it's not a good play call. Run the ball, you run the clock. Well, the guy was wide open and he dropped it. The back and forth nature of it is just the concept of I need to be right. I want to tell you you're wrong. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter who was right or who was wrong. They won the Super Bowl. What the hell's the difference on that thing? And It is the concept of losing and learning is a lost thing. Maybe losing on that particular manner, learning from the fact that, hey, maybe we should have just ran the ball there. And that helps you become a better team in week 17 because you did something wrong in week 2. We generally don't care or want to accept that. You just want to win in the moment.
Mike, let me ask you about this draft coming up. All right. I think it's like, not more likely, but I think it's a good possibility that Howie looks to trade up in this draft. I don't want to speak for John. I don't think John thinks that's going to happen. I think it's a good chance because I'm listening to Howie yesterday. We're in win now mode. We have, you know, a great roster. They need a good player, Mike. That's what they need. They don't need a bunch of bodies. They need a contributing player on a rookie contract on that defense right now to replace some of the people they lost. I think if one of their, maybe they have 15 grades. You heard Howie say yesterday, there's never 32 first-round grades. If there's 15 and one of those guys, one of those defensive linemen, one of those edge rushers falls down into the 20s, I think Howie's going to pounce all over it. Do you think that's fair to say? Do you think that's unlikely? Where are you on what Howie might do? And do you think a trade-up is a possibility?
Oh, the trade-up's always a possibility. The trade-out's always a possibility. Look, if you were to bet odds, if you go to your favorite sportsbook app and say, what is the possibility that the Eagles draft at 32? You're probably not getting great odds that they're going to stick. You're probably going to get pretty good value there, right? You might get plus 750 that they're going to actually stay at 32. The chances of them moving somewhere, you know, we were talking about this the other day. What player would it be that they would go up to go get? There's always that guy that just they trade up and go get, and you're like, never saw that one coming.
I'd go Walter Nolan.
Well, Walter Nolan's the name I was actually going to bring up because so many mock drafts have him. I've seen him in the second round, and this is off the field.
And then
related.
You see him like top 15. It's so random.
Exactly. So that's where do the Eagles have him on their board? Coupled with the off-field stuff, that's why you see him in the second round. So he's an interesting guy to start watching on draft night when he starts to kind of dip a little bit. Do the Eagles feel like, okay, we can hold at 32 and get him? Or, hey, if he's at 22, that's when we make our move because that's the guy we really want. So he's one guy that would be interesting. Now, if they want to dip right into the starter pool, Malachi Starks would be a guy they probably would say, hey, if we want a guy to play on the field right away next to Reed Blankenship, he would be the guy that you got to keep an eye on. Where does he start to fall? And I laughed yesterday, John, you'll like this, because I said this could be your Earl Thomas moment right here where – if he's there and you don't take him and you end up taking Ezeraku or some edge rusher and in the early going, Starks is the guy who ends up being the better player at first, you better hope that other guy turns his career around a la Brandon Graham. But Starks would be probably a starting player. Other than that, you know, I think you're in a trade-out situation. Now, again, it goes back to, is there that guy that they just like way more than we've heard or that they're leading on, or they're not leading on anything. They're not leading on to anybody in this situation. I don't know, John, you're around them a lot more. Is there a player or anybody that they tend to be like giving? I know they said yesterday, well, you know, we had a lot of success with the lines and the depth of the line. So that could be any edge or defensive tackle at this point. I don't know that one stands out over the other. Ezeraku, who's a local kid, he went to Williamstown. He intrigues me. 16 and a half sacks last year. Yeah. He's got a full arsenal of moves. I mean, that guy, I think, is very underrated. He went to Boston College, not a football factory, ACC. But if he's sitting there at 32, he would be an intriguing name for me. Starks for a trade-up. Nolan to keep your eye on to see, can we just sit here and take him? And then the other thing is, just like they were at 32 a couple of years ago, they traded out. And they went to the back to the second round and then ended up getting Goddard, if you want to look at that second-tier tight end.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Starks is the most interesting one, though, that you named there, Mike. I mean, his game tape, he is an impressive player. He doesn't have the measurables or, like, he doesn't have the athleticism that jumped off the page at the combine. But, boy, you put on his game tape, that dude can play. I just don't know if they would go down that route. You know, I love the player. I'm having a hard time buying in, though, because – I truly don't think the Eagles would draft a safety in the first round.
Well, 32, I mean, it's like, what's the difference between 32 and 33? I'm with you if it's top 20, anything of that nature. And, you know, about trading up, I want to make it clear because people jump on things, you know, and how he said it. Chances, when he was talking about patience, as Mike brought up, chances that you're trading up in the top 10, top 15, top 20 are slim. Targeted trade up potential. And by that, I mean five spots, maybe. That's possible. And that
I just don't, I don't think there's a player.
Yeah, then it's got to be about, it's got to be about who they like and who that. I have been interested, and I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I went, I'm trying to pull it up as we speak, but
there's not a player 25 picks deep that's probably worth the Jimmy Johnson trade chart to move to go get, I would imagine.
I was, to Xander's point, I was told yesterday that because it surprised me, and they've been hitting the secondary hard late in the process. And I'm like, what's going on here? So I contacted, and to be fully transparent as I can, same guy who gave me Cam Jurgens back in the day, which was rock solid. I mean, rock solid. The position coaches have been doing a ton of evaluations looking for impact so they can maintain that elite coverage skills that they had last year. Only names Starks and Barron, the kid, and I don't know how they get Barron. I don't think he's going to last anywhere near the Eagles. But yeah, because we talked about it when they started inviting corners and safeties. And they've been doing a lot of work on the secondary. So that might tell you they don't believe in Kaylee Ringo. They don't believe in Cindy Brown.
Right.
And they see a big, you know, potential. And to your point about safety, Xander, yeah, I'm with you. But 32, like, who cares?
Right, that's a little lower. I just wonder if you'd have to go up to get Starks, then I think it's really out.
Yeah, I don't think
you might have to. The only team right around there is Baltimore, who has Kyle Hamilton. But if you pair those two guys together, you know, and that's a team that values defense, focuses on defense, has drafted that position. And they're right around you. I think, what are they, 29, 28? I think Washington's 29. So you're right in that area where now the Eagles famously made a trade with Washington last year to get Cooper DeJean. I don't know that the Commanders are willing to swap with you if you want to go to where they are. I think they're at 29 right now. So I don't know that you can count on Washington picking up the phone this time if you want to try to get up a couple spots.
Yeah, how about them? They go from number 2 overall pick to the number 29 overall pick. That's quite the turnaround for them.
It is quite the turnaround. They last year, you know, I remember, you know, this time of the year where you're prognosticating, and not this time of the year because they hadn't drafted yet, but right after the draft, you're talking about, okay, and we kept talking about if Jaden Daniels is to Washington what CJ Stroud was to Houston. That's the way that they could be the surprise team and make the jump. And you can make an argument that he was better than CJ was as a rookie, and he took them that far. Now, they took a step back, Houston, much of it injury-related on the offensive side of the ball where CJ just wasn't the same player this year. That's what you get to watch for Washington, who's going to be going through a much more difficult schedule this year.
By the way, breaking news, the disrespected Jalen Hurts was named one of the most 100 most influential people by Time magazine. So congratulations to Jalen Hurts.
Nice. He's
turning into quite the Renaissance man, right?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty good stuff there for Jalen Hurts. Time top 100 most influential people. Is that what it was? Top 100
yes. most influential? Yes, 100 most influential people by Time magazine.
I don't know what exactly that means, but top. Yeah,
they've been doing it for years, but yeah.
Hurts, a couple of years ago, remember, was drafted in the second round and was famously the most disliked pick maybe in the history of the franchise. So
he said, by the way, he's in the icon category. So you have artists, you have icons. I'm looking at the other categories.
Does the NFL look at Jalen Hurts as a marketable star?
Oh, God. Oh,
I think he's very marketable. Yeah.
Oh, he's tremendous. He doesn't
say anything.
Leaders.
I have to, dude.
That's a category.
I feel like when you see, I don't know, my television is filled with the Kelce brothers, Patrick Mahomes. I had Baker Mayfield for quite some time. I don't see Jalen Hurts getting into the car wash of like taking over my television. Right.
He's already got a ton of endorsements.
Locally.
He definitely has that a different approach though, Mike. Like he's not gonna be that guy that's like Kelce went. You know what I mean? He's not gonna be that dude. But athletes are still marketable, right? I mean, Michael Jordan never joined the media. He was one of the most marketable guys on the planet. I'm not saying Jalen's bad. There's other approaches.
Yeah. I'm wondering nationally, is Hurts a guy that's magnetic to the NFL fan?
Yeah, not I think so. His jersey's always one or two now.
Well, Eagle fans are they're another breed.
Yeah, well, that's true. But he made this list. That's a pretty big
that
list.
Pretty impressive. Yeah, that is. That's pretty cool.
So those are some of the innovators, titans of industry, pioneers. He's in the icon category.
Well, it definitely shows you that his stardom is now going, his reach is expanding further than Philadelphia or the tri-state area, right? I mean, if you're on that list, then you obviously
List is a big deal.
Yeah, right. Two Super Bowls in 3 years will do that.
Yeah.
Speaking of the icon category, I made a trip to Mighty Mick's gym where Rocky famously trained.
Ooh, which is now nice.
A brewery in Kensington on Saturday. And I would advise everybody to check the place out. It was pretty cool to be in that spot, man.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Mighty Mick's gym. It's in Kensington on Front Street, right under the L. The pizza shop across the street, which I did order a pizza from, was the bar where Rocky comes out and then him and Tommy Gunn get.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right in the intersection right there. And across the street is where the pet shop where Adrian worked used to be. The pet shop is no longer there. They tore it down, but they built something new there in its spot. But the brewery is the gym. And when you walk inside, I mean, they didn't film the scenes, the gym scenes inside there, but the outside still looks pretty much like Mighty Mick's gym. But I would
Rocky Five was not the best though, Mike.
No, but I'll tell you, I did not realize that they filmed it all right on that corner in terms of Mighty Mick's, the pet shop, the pizza shop. Well, the pizza shop in the movie is a bar. And then the intersection right there is where the fight happens between him and Tommy.
There you go. That's good.
You talk about an iconic moment there, John McMullen. Put that in Time Magazine.
Well, I'll tell you what. You bring that up in South Jersey. There's a restaurant called, I believe, Kid Rips. I'm trying to look it up. I'll give him a plug. Free plug. It's a good restaurant. They have the actual movie poster. The owner was a boxer.
Oh.
And they have the actual poster in the movie, Mighty Mick's poster of the gym from the movie. They have it in the restaurant. I'm going to send that to Xander if you can somehow put it up.
I'll drop it up. Put it up on the screen.
It's funny because I have a picture in front of it. The brewery is called Lost in Time. It's right there in Kensington on Front Street. But the guy bartending said, on Saturdays, the Rocky tour groups will come and there'll be like 25 to 50 people outside the bar getting pictures taken. And he's like, hey, come on in and get like, he's like, but they just take pictures in front of all these spots there. But it was a cool, iconic spot while we're on the Philadelphia icon list of things there.
Yeah. The biggest icon in Philadelphia history is a Hollywood.
I did see a man on a horse in cowboy gear going over the Strawberry Mansion Bridge on Sunday.
That's interesting.
A white horse right across. I was like, this is interesting.
Yeah. Mighty Mick's gym that John just sent me. There it is.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool. Yeah. The Mighty Mick's that particular facade that used to be on the front of the building has been long gone. It's not there anymore. But the rest of the facade is still very much like the movie.
Nice. Nice.
Good stuff there, Johnny Mac. Nice send, by the way.
Yeah.
I can try to send you the photo there, Xander, if you want.
Oh, did you send me it? Let me see if I got it.
I will send, I'll send it to you right now. This is me in front of the front of the brewery on I went on Saturday. It's called Lost in Time. Yeah, but if you look at the facade, you'll see where the window is, where the Mighty Mix poster was in the actual movie.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I did the and then across the street where that pizza shop is, we did order a pizza from there. It kind of looks maybe just maybe the neighborhood was you know, actually they're cleaning that neighborhood up a little.
Well, yeah, then you got to be careful down there. But how hopefully they're cleaning
it
up.
Wasn't that too bad, honestly. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah, as long as you're there during the day.
Yeah, but you mentioned Howie Roseman. You know, it's going to be interesting. How many more years is he the guy here, and what that continues to do for him? And is there anything that could make him? Because you know, fans are quick to be. I always thought this guy was a fraud, and you know, because for years when they went to that Super Bowl in 2017 when they won that Super Bowl, I had people calling in and saying it was all Joe Douglas. Roseman had nothing to do with this roster. So you had people still resisting him after they won the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, people will turn on you on a dime if you have a and the problem for Howie is, you know, this is a cyclical industry. So eventually, some bad stuff is going to happen.
Ah, look at that.
There's the Greg and Mike Gill. Check him out.
Lawson, there we go. Nice.
The Mighty Mix gym right there.
That's a good shot, Mike. Nice. That area looks clean. Nice.
It does look nice.
Good.
It was I don't know the guy or anything. I had heard it turned into a brewery. We had a little time to kill. My friend lives in Fishtown over there. I was visiting him. And we said, hey, let's go check it out. So it was a pretty cool place. It was definitely worth going in. The beer was pretty good, by the way. Definitely worth going in at one time and saying, hey, I'm here.
Yeah. Mike, you're a big brewery guy, aren't you? I know you love to go into the
brewery. I am a big brewery guy, yes.
Yeah, good.
Big IPA guy.
Yes, I can wax poetically for quite some time here.
I'm a simple man when it comes to beer. Very simple.
There's a place in South Jersey that's said something. There was a beer that I really liked, and they haven't had it in a while. They posted today that they found like a random keg stored in the back of this particular beer they're bringing back just for the weekend. And I texted my buddy. I was like, looks like we have a trip this weekend.
Nice. Just give me a Heineken. I'm good. That's it. Yeah, I'm good. I don't need.
Would you like Johnny Mac a Heineken? I was going to guess.
You would like Thailand, right? Johnny Mac. They had Heinekens all over the place.
Yeah. I'm good. Yeah.
Let's get John to Thailand. I'm going to start the super chat fund.
Oh, no. Thailand people will be back. I'm not looking for lady boys. That's all they talk about.
Mike, you still haven't gotten past the allegations in the chat of,
I know,
of the lady boys. So I don't know if you'll ever live those down, but. Mike, we appreciate you joining in today, brother. Any final thoughts from you before we let you run, brother?
No, I know next week, you know, the Eagles will finally be getting ready to pick on Thursday, and the speculation will
finally end. You're doing a live show locally?
I will be live. I'll be at Ocean Casino is hosting my draft party. We do an annual draft party. We'll probably have right now we have over 200 people registered to come out to watch the show. We're giving away a pair of Eagles club box tickets. We're giving out overnight stays to Ocean and all sorts of prizes all throughout the show. It's open to anybody who wants to come. So, yes, I will be live on Thursday for the draft.
All right. Sounds good. Make sure you follow Mike.
Yeah,
what's that?
Sure you follow him. Good.
Oh, yeah. Right there.
Yeah, follow him on YouTube at Mike Gill Show. Go and type that in on YouTube. Everybody give him a subscribe and watch his show. Mike, we appreciate you joining in today, brother. As always, we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. See you guys.
Thanks, right, bud.
Thank you. There's Mike Gill joining us here on Birds 365. We're going to have Brandon Lee Gowton coming up in a little bit as well. Always a great interview. Always great talking to Mike Gill. And a good shot of Mike Gill down there in Fishtown. So good stuff from Mike Gill for joining in today. Johnny Mack, any thoughts on our interview there with Mike Gill? I thought he had some good stuff.
Are you getting some trolls? I put up Jalen Hurts, the top most influential people in the world, and already getting some trolls up there criticizing that on social media.
People have to criticize everything, man. I know. The world that we live in.
Like, why? You know, it's a nice little thing. It is what it is. You know what it is. And, you know, you get these people that take time out of their day to criticize Time magazine. It's like, yeah, settle down.
I know. Some people have more shit to do, but yeah, that is what it is. All right, Johnny Mac, we get to our commercial break. We got we have Brandon Lee Gowton coming up in hour number two, so we'll talk to him, see what he thought of Howie Roseman. Did Howie Roseman give BLJ anything a little different? Did he have a different takeaway? So good stuff there. I saw the picture there that Mike shared. Someone said, you know, the mayor might be doing some work. I actually met the mayor, John Sherelle Parker, this past weekend.
Did she spell Eagles yet?
She was, I'm not going to lie to you, and I'm not getting political here, but she was great. I mean, you could tell she's a politician. She knows how to talk to a crowd. She knows how to talk to people. But she was at the charity basketball game I was at, the All-Star Labor Classic. You know the All-Star. You were there a couple of years ago. But, yeah, it was a huge event now. Now the gym is packed. Sherelle Parker's there hyping up the crowd, but it was interesting. So I saw her in there. So I met her. She was nice. Very nice to me.
Did you make fun of her Eagles chant?
I did not, but other people were making fun of her Eagles chant. I'm like, I'll let her live. It's all good, man. She was, you know, whatever.
I say the same thing. Yeah, Polish, they're all like that. Corey Booker. I met Corey Booker at the NBA All-Star game way back in the day. Boy, that guy can freaking win you over in 10 seconds.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, but that's why they're politicians. You gotta be people person to be a politician. Yeah. Successful one.
Yeah, Dank says, did she talk for 8 hours? She did talk a while. I will say they gave her the mic before the game, and you know, she started rambling. But she's good on the mic. That's the thing. She knows how to rally the people. You know, she does a chant. We weren't loud enough. She does the chant again. So, but it was funny. Good to meet Sherelle Parker down there at the All-Star Labor Classic for a good cause, raised a bunch of money. So I was proud to be a part of it for that reason. We'll get to our commercial break. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll have Brandon Lee Gowton. Plenty of draft stuff to talk about. Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni spoke for those who didn't hear it yesterday. They didn't give you too much, but they did give you some stuff. So we'll talk about some more of that, and we'll be right back on Birds 365.